Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
So today for Goals Question Time, I've got the pleasure of being joined by Michael Smith, who is Assistant Vice President for Corporate Development at USAA. Hi, Michael. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great. Michael, could you kick off by giving us a brief introduction to yourself then, please?
Sure. You give my name and title, but yes, so Michael Smith, and I'm an Assistant Vice President on the Corporate Development Team at USAA. And I joined the company a little over 7 years ago and have been with Corporate Development the entire time. The early part of my career was spent in consulting at Pricewaterhouse and Deloitte. And after about 7 years of living out of a suitcase, I decided I wanted to get into a more finance-oriented career. So I ventured to your side of the pond and undertook an MBA at London Business School to springboard a career change. After business school, I spent about 2 years doing capital investment review and eventually made my way to USAA in 2010.
Correct.
I feel extremely fortunate to work for USAA. My role as a corporate development professional feels like the culmination of everything I've learned and experiences to date. Looking back, my time in consulting exposed me to strategy, technology, package software, and project management. And that experience has really helped me understand and evaluate new companies and technologies. And then the experience in capital investment review provided additional exposure to financial analysis, due diligence, reading and interpreting transaction documents. And so now I have the opportunity to work with a great team at USAA and bring new innovations and promising investment opportunities forward for the benefit of USAA members.
Excellent. Excellent. So could you give us a brief description, first of all, then, of USAA and the parent organization?
Sure. The company USAA was founded by the military for the military. In 1922, 25 Army officers came together with the goal of insuring one another's vehicles when no other insurance company would. It sounds ridiculous today, but these military officers and their military lifestyle were seen as too risky. So they, you know, sort of threw their money on the table together and self-insured. So we are structured as a mutual insurance company, and together these 25 Army officers founded USAA. From those beginnings, we followed the same military values our founders prized: service, loyalty, honesty, and integrity. And if you were ever to come to our home office in San Antonio, you'd see those words chiseled into marble. So they're enduring values. Over time, we've expanded the breadth of who we serve, expanding our eligibility to other branches of the U.S. military, enlisted personnel, and military families. So our market now is anyone who's honorably served in the U.S. military and their families. And we've also expanded the ways in which we serve our members. Just to highlight a few, we've added additional property and casualty products such as homeowners insurance, renters, and valuable personal property. We also offer life insurance and annuities. We have a direct-to-consumer bank that offers deposit products, credit cards, mortgages, auto and consumer loans, amongst other products. And then last but not least, we have an investment management company that offers brokerage services, proprietary mutual funds, wealth management, and retirement planning services.
Great. So quite a comprehensive business in that there. In terms of the corporate development and the fund you relate that you run, could you give us a description of that, about off balance sheet or a separate entity, and how that works within the innovation area within USAA?
Sure. The dollars that we're investing are off balance sheet. So, you know, as you might imagine, as an insurance company, we are receiving premium dollars that we're seeking to invest. And our chief investment office has committed in excess of $300 million to strategic investments And the vast majority of our net worth, I should mention, is invested in highly liquid assets. So we're able to meet our obligations in the event members have a catastrophe like we're going through with Hurricane and Tropical Storm Harvey right now.
We do allocate a
small percentage to less liquid assets such as venture capital, and this is where the corporate development team comes in. The corporate development group got its start in 2010 as we were partnering with TrueCar, a digital automotive marketplace that connects buyers and certified dealers. And our leaders at the time saw the opportunity for partnership, you know, where each company is making the other better rather than sort of limiting ourselves to a traditional customer-vendor relationship. So we elected to make a minority equity investment in TrueCar, and so we could share in the upside and value creation. And that was back in 2009 was our initial investment, and sort of 20-plus investments later, we're still going strong.
So can you confirm the size, roughly the size of the fund or the sort of deployment rate?
Sure, yeah, and like I said, and just to be clear, it's not a fund, but the chief investment office has committed over $300 million to our strategic investment program. And, you know, candidly, thanks to several successful exits, we're considerably under this threshold. So our investment potential really is only constrained by the number of attractive ideas that we're able to identify.
Excellent. And what are the key sort of technology and new business models you're looking for opportunities in that you see as an opportunity or a threat for the business?
Sure. We have a website, usacorpdev.com, that describes our four key investment themes, but I'll kind of touch on each of the four right now. The first is fintech, which I think everybody's generally familiar with, but these are technologies relating to payments, lending, investing, and such that enable USA to provide simpler, more effective financial solutions for its members. Another a term that sort of entered our lexicon in the last 5 years or so, InsurTech, is another key theme for us. And these are technologies that enable connected cars and homes, wearables, and opportunities that are really transforming the future of our insurance products, which, you know, auto, property, life, and health. The third one is a bit of a catch-all, but we call it security, data, and AI. And think of these as solutions that are enabling secure authentication, identity management systems, fraud prevention, personalization, underwriting, risk detection, things of that nature. And then the fourth one is enterprise infrastructure. And so the first, certainly two, and possibly the third one I mentioned there, are really more member-facing solutions. The enterprise infrastructure, you know, think of it as enabling solutions for members and employees around communication technologies. We have a large contact center here, as well as operational capabilities, cloud, containerization, DevOps, in mobility platforms.
Excellent. So what I see now in a lot of organizations and corporate venture units who are getting more mature, what I term innovative new value chains, about how technology and startups are being brought together in different forms to create new business models. So, you know, in autonomous vehicles or like in health with monitoring devices, changing the data that's coming out, which then changes the business model for your industry. Are you seeing those things occurring within the types of investments and the sectors you're interested in?
Absolutely. And let me give you one example. USAA, it's United Services Automobile Association, was the original name of the company. And so we have a real history and legacy in automotive. And so let me kind of walk you through our auto experience as an example.
Great.
We want to be with our members when they're making important financial decisions. And we know probably buying a house is the most important financial decision a person makes in their life. And buying a car, it could be if the person is not a homeowner, but buying a car is likely the second most important financial transaction our members enter into. And we want to be there to support them really from the time they see the vehicle until the time they sell it. And we've done this by partnering and investing with leading startups. Let me give you a few examples. TrueCar, I think I may have mentioned already, but they are really around researching, finding, and purchasing a vehicle. We have an investment in a really neat company, RepairPal, which is around maintaining and repairing the vehicle during the full ownership period. So, you know, we know members buy a car roughly every 7 years, but during the entire ownership period, when they're maintaining and potentially repairing their vehicle, this is potentially an 11-year, members are holding their cars for up to 11 years, and during this time period, we want to provide our members a way to make sure they're having quality repairs done, getting price discovery and certainty, as well as a warranty on repairs.
BP Castrol have also invested in RepairPal, is that
they
right?
They are, yes.
Yeah, so there's multiple corporates invested in that startup, which have got interest in other bits of the value chain, I guess, which is interesting.
Yeah, they're really doing a great job, and we're really excited about that investment opportunity.
Great.
Another one is Automatic Labs, where it was recently acquired by SiriusXM, but we're investors there, where they're providing vehicle telematic services. And the our real primary use case there was around teen safe drivers. So we know when new drivers start out, they don't have the experience that older drivers do and more accident prone. So we're partnering with Automatic to install devices so parents could help coach their teens to make them safer and better drivers. And then one other one I'll mention, again, in sort of our whole auto experience, is around collision. Unfortunately, if you get into an accident, have a claim, or in the case of, you know, sort of Hurricane Harvey, the vehicle is underwater and effectively a total loss. We partnered with a company called Snapsheet, which is using mobile technology. Members can take a picture of the damage of their vehicle using their mobile phone or tablet and have their claim settled efficiently and conveniently. So, again, in the case of the, you know, kind of timely example of Hurricane Harvey where members in Houston are having their vehicles submerged and we know it's a total loss, they can quickly take a picture of the vehicle, settle their claim, and get back on their feet as quickly as possible.
Excellent. Good examples there, as you said, across the life cycle of owning and looking after your vehicle. So great overviews, Michael, so far then in terms of why you're doing this and the technology. People are so central to corporate venturing and innovation. Could you explain some of the experience and skills of the other team members? You've done a great overview for yourself. What sort of other team members have you got there within the corporate development and then within the core business?
Sure. We are very fortunate to have a great team in corporate development from a variety of disciplines. We have 8 professionals focused on strategic investments and then 2 highly qualified support personnel that help out with a variety of activities. And the background of our investment professionals are varied, but everyone generally possesses an advanced degree as well as practical experience, understanding how companies operate and assessing startup business models. We also have a couple individuals on our team that possess extensive operating experience at USA, which is really critical in helping corporate development understand key line of business gaps, priorities, and assessing fit for new technologies. So that's the corporate development team. And then within the broader business, you know, I'd say we have 2 main entities within the firm that really play key roles regarding our strategic investment activities. And I'll try not to, you know, torture you with our acronyms here, but the first is a working group. So we've assembled a working group of key business executives that help inform where we should consider investing. And this group meets roughly once a month and is a forum to discuss new investment ideas, gain business support, and receive direction, candidly, regarding our focus areas. And then the second one is our investment committee. So we have a cross-functional group of the most senior executives at USAA who guide our investment decisions, and we seek their formal approval prior to making an investment and periodically review our existing portfolio investments with them, discussing both the financial and operational performance. And I should note, business sponsorship really is key for us. Anytime I take a new opportunity to my investment committee, the business sponsor's at my side. Similarly, when we're conducting a portfolio review, my investment committee is really as interested in hearing from the business sponsor about integration progress as my report on the financial results.
And do you find, just a subsidiary question to that, do you find that the core business is sufficiently strategic and looking further out than just looking for a solution to today's problems? I often sort of describe the balance between doing tactical things, which is quite short-term, and strategic, where the industry and the technology are going to totally disrupt the business, and the current business might not be happy about looking at that. Do you find that you have that tension, or have you got that balance right, or is it changing? How do you find that?
You know, generally, I would say we are very forward-looking relative, I think, to other financial institutions, in that it's something really our members require from us. They're forward-thinking and tech-savvy, and we've seen they adopt new technology at a pace much faster than the average consumer, largely due to their very highly mobile and digital. You know, the military moves around quite a bit, and things that were, I would say, a legacy hindrance to our business in terms of not having insurance agents and not having bank branches was detrimental to us. But the way the future's evolved, it's been extremely favorable to us in terms of, .com and mobile, where members, people don't want to go into a bank branch anymore, and you're seeing the, traditional banks closing branches. So the fact that we, never had that brick-and-mortar cost structure has really evolved favorably to us. And similarly with insurance agents, we have a direct model with a large contact center here in San Antonio and other cities with high military concentration. And so the way things have evolved, that used to be sort of a negative probably to our distribution model, has really turned out extremely favorably.
Excellent. So if we could move on now to the ventures that you invest in, could you give us a bit of a description of how you support those? And also, do you maybe sit on the boards or observers and that within those businesses? How do you support the ventures?
Sure. Really, we try to support our portfolio companies however possible. But I'll maybe kind of hit on a few things that have been particularly useful. And the first one's obvious, but it's with an operating agreement. Not shockingly, startups would like to have us as investors, but would love to have USA as a customer. And, an investment by USA, I should say, it's obviously not a guarantee of an operating agreement. The portfolio company still needs to win and continually earn our business. But with that said, we are a strategic investor, and we seek to partner with our portfolio companies. Second one I'd say is really subject matter expertise. Many startups have great ideas, but may lack insurance, banking, or investment industry experience. So a portfolio company is a partner, and both the corporate development team, and I've generally found our line of business executives are generous in sharing their time and expertise. We try to invest under terms that really encourage the success of the company. We want our portfolio companies to excel and be the dominant player in their markets. So we don't ask for terms that try to limit their market potential or exit opportunities. Continued investment. We possess an excellent track record for follow-on investing. We have a long investment horizon and are capable of continued funding of promising businesses. And then the last one I would highlight probably is around press releases, customer reference calls, things of that nature. We're extremely protective of the USA brand, which has been carefully cultivated over the past 90 plus years. But we know the value of the imprimatur of USA for a startup, and we try to be thoughtful in our publicity. You also asked about, you know, the boards. It's something that we take extremely seriously. We do have a mix of board director and observer roles and try to be thoughtful about which we pursue. You know, for investments that are core to USAA, we're willing to dedicate the time and attention required of board directors because we view these as critically important. And the one point I'd like to highlight is really the board directors and observers are members of our corporate development team. And we don't report up one of our lines of business. So we've really tried to minimize any potential conflicts of interest. And that's something that's just paramount to us. We never want even the appearance of being conflicted because, as you know, as representatives of shareholders, we're assuming the duties of care and loyalty extremely seriously.
And that's an excellent point for people who are new to corporate venturing. Actually, that differentiates. You put that over well there. Thank you, Mike.
And then I was just going to say, personally, I have the privilege and responsibility of sitting on three boards, and I'm the observer to one other board of our portfolio companies.
Excellent. Thank you. So, I guess in terms of measuring your financial and your strategic performance, what sorts of metrics do you have, or have you got some areas that you're particularly proud of that you can tell within those areas on how you show that performance?
Yeah, so we have a dual mandate, strategic and financial returns. And, you know, sort of as a recovering consultant, I like to think of it as just sort of a 2x2 matrix, as you might imagine, with and sort of think of, you know, the x-axis is mission fulfillment and the y-axis is opportunity for financial return. So, you know, the top right box is where we want to be, high. In the bottom left box, you know, low opportunities are sort of an easy pass. Where we may differ from others is we're also likely to pass on the top left box, you know, the high financial return but low mission fulfillment, is it's just outside of our remit and we want to be very thoughtful with our members' money and not sort of expose ourselves to strategic drift. And then I'd say on the lower right box, you know, high mission fulfillment with moderate to lower financial return, these are opportunities that we will consider, and especially if there's ways to improve the financial return profile. And then, so, you know, if I kind of decompose that and think about how do we measure strategic return, financial return, the strategic return piece, let me go back to the TrueCar example. You know, we're looking at things like the amount of money USA members are able to save off MSRP by utilizing our car buying service. And then also, you know, we know that when members are buying a car, they frequently need an auto loan or they may reprice their auto insurance. So we look at the take rates of members that are utilizing our car buying service on our core products, such as auto loans and auto insurance. And then, you know, regarding financial return, we're looking at traditional metrics like IRR and cash on cash. And so, you know, I don't want to in any way underemphasize the importance of financial return, because while I mentioned the dual mandate, the requirement for acceptable financial returns really is critical, because without it, it's not sustainable.
Yeah. I think a general summary I'll make there usually is that you don't stay strategic for long if you don't make a financial return is often the point. I think as you made the point earlier in terms of your fund, you've now had some good exits or returns which then make you sustainable and can give you those strategic benefits. So I think you've given us an excellent overview there. I really appreciate the insights around the USA and the approach you've done on the venturing and the people aspect, I think is so important. What do you do to relax when you're not venturing, Michael?
Yeah, You know, I'm blessed with a beautiful family, wife and two elementary school age boys, so they keep me fairly occupied outside the office. As a family, we enjoy traveling and sports. And a couple of things that we're trying to combine the both, a couple of quests in progress. I'm trying to get my boys to every Major League Baseball park in America before they turn 18.
All right.
So we've been to 11 so far, so it's a really neat way to get them out, see the country, and you know, kind of do something fun along the way.
So me not being American, how many are there? You've done 11 out of how many?
They're 30, so
right, okay.
So my kids are in third and fifth grade, so I think I'm roughly on track.
You have a plan, good.
Yeah. So we're having fun with that, and then the other one personally, there are 53 14,000 foot summits in Colorado, and I'm trying to get all of them. I've only got 9 of those to date, so I've kind of got my work cut out for me there. But again,
you're behind. You're behind plan on that one, then, by the sounds of it.
I think so. Yes. But, good. It's a labor of love, so, you know, we'll I'll continue on there.
Michael, really appreciate your time and sharing the experience there in the venturing and innovation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Andrew. I really appreciate you having me on. It's been a pleasure.